10 minutes to 10 on ABC Newcastle. Time to talk relationships. And when you're in an intimate relationship with someone, eventually you're going to have a conversation about contraception, either for birth control or sexual health. Or do you have that conversation or just assume that your partner has it covered? Is looking after it, that you don't need to worry. For relationships today, let's talk contraception. Tara Whitewood, our relationship coach with the Sugar Doctor, is here. Good morning.
Good morning, Kaya.
And standing next to you is a very special guest, sexologist Jane McCartney. Good morning.
Hello.
Tara, I'll start with you. Is contraception an issue openly talked about in relationships, do you think?
Look, it can be, and I think one of the issues that that happens over time is that it can be one of those things that people tend to sort of set and forget. Mm-hmm. So they've had the conversation, they've made the decision, and then they do that in perpetuity for the rest of their lives, right? Where contraception is actually something that really needs to be talked about quite regularly.
Yeah, so we say it all the time, that check-in. It becomes part of that check-in, like money, like kids and schooling and future decisions.
Absolutely. And because it relates so closely to your physical health, as well as your sort of external goals, whether you want to have kids or not, but as your physical health changes hormonally and over your lifetime, it's really important to keep checking in with those decisions that you've already made.
Where do you think responsibility generally tends to fall for contraception?
Generally, responsibility tends to fall with a woman because we are the ones who get pregnant, yes? So we're the ones who will have a baby, or we're the ones who tend to take most of that responsibility in terms of physically, emotionally, and how that plays out in our lifestyle. So traditionally, that's how it has been. I think that's starting to shift now.
Jane, would you agree with that?
Yes, I would absolutely agree that traditionally women have borne the brunt of the responsibility for contraception.
Is that because of what's on the market as well? Like often when you look at the options for contraception, there seems to be one for blokes and maybe 700-800 for – or
these
seven. Or 3 to 7 for women, depending on which GP you're at.
Yeah, exactly. And I do think that that's the thing. Yes, a guy can wear a condom. That's kind of about the limit of his options. But for a woman, we do have, and in modern times, many more options than even so in the past when it was just the pill. So these days, the long-acting reversible contraception, which we see, is available. And
what are some of those options? Talk us through what the options are.
Yep. So some of those options, hormonal IUD, which people use. So it can be put in for up to 3 years, I think, is the time frame. And you have also the implant that people can get. Contraceptive implants. A lot of these are hormonally based. Copper IUD, which isn't hormonally based, but again, it's something that's inserted into the body. So we have those options. And then you've got the vaginal ring, which can be used over a period of, I think, of 3 weeks. So there are a variety of options. But interestingly, in Australia, those long-acting reversible contraceptions are not taken up in as big in numbers as we might think.
So we see the pill being the most common?
The pill is still the most common, and then the condom after that.
Why is that? Is it just affordability, ease, people understand it? Like taking a pill is easy to manage?
Well, taking a pill, isn't necessarily easy to manage.
If you're as organised as some or if you're me.
Exactly. And we have the thing when we talk about contraceptive perfect use, and with perfect use, a lot of these things are very effective. Typical use, when you factor in the human component, is, they're less effective. So pills, you've got to remember to take it. It's actually more troublesome than set and forget, as we were saying. So,
Is there stigma around this conversation? Is this to both of you?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, there's I don't know so much maybe stigma, but awkwardness, like unfamiliarity. Mm. People aren't used to having that conversation. So one of the biggest things that I would suggest to people is that they practice having the conversation, both with a friend or with a therapist or with someone who they're really comfortable with before they have it with their partner, and particularly before they go and see their health practitioner.
Mm. Can this cause tension in relationships?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of the tension comes from the intensity about the decision making without including your partner in the process of the decision making.
Also maybe the cost. I can remember having
right
fights about cost. Why am I burdening this financial cost on my own?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And money's one of those things too. So factor that in.
Yes.
You know, it's an emotional
issue. Another hot
issue.
Button. That's
yeah,
right.
Hot button, absolutely.
Especially when you have to pay for a GP visit as well as then the prescription.
A GP visit, the time off work, the cost of the actual contraception, the emotional and mental energy it takes to make that decision. So I really recommend that that's a process that people do together, that they do the research together, that they talk about the options together. And what happens when you do that process together is that the decision making, while it belongs to the person who owns the body, but the decision making often becomes less controversial and less loaded because you've been through the process together.
And Jane, contraception isn't just about stopping pregnancy, right?
No, there can be a few reasons why people choose contraception. So particularly barrier methods like the condom, that's a sexual health decision as well. So none of the hormonal methods will protect you from STIs. And so Tara's talking, it sounds like long-term relationships. Mm. Of course, not every sexual relationship is long-term and you don't always get the opportunity to have that conversation. So, yeah, so sexual health is one thing as well that's added on to your reproductive health. But then also things like, oh, what was I thinking of? So management of menstruation, that's another part of it, that some people are using these methods to manage problematic periods, pain, bleeding, all of those kinds of things. So it can be a combination, and all of those things are emotional issues.
Yeah. And that hormonal fluctuation as well. Yeah. Some people to manage their mental health like to use some kind of contraceptive to even
absolutely.
Out their
hormones.
Greg called in to say we should mention vasectomy is an option for blokes as well.
Absolutely.
Tends to be not so much, I guess, for younger blokes. That tends to be when you're a little bit older and, you know, you've done what you want to do kid-wise and you're sort of sorting it out. How do we talk, Jane? I don't remember having much of a conversation in sex ed classes around contraception.
Yeah.
How do we end up having this conversation with our young people especially?
Yeah, I have two teenagers and I'm really big on opening up that conversation and just letting them know what the options are, demystifying, de-shaming the sex conversation. That's the thing, like when shame is involved, then automatically you're going underground with those conversations. Mm. And, you know, if they don't want to open up because it feels a bit icky, and like you're going to feel a bit icky with your parents, but at least if there's some other sex educators who are out there who do not practice with shame as their basis or fear as well, like it's not, you know, don't get pregnant. It's kind of that thing. It's more like, let's empower them to take responsibility for their health, like they do with like going to the gym or brushing their teeth.
Are you talking to your son and daughter in exactly the same way?
Yeah, I try to, but the needs are different. So my son, obviously, he needs to think about a female partner if that's what he chooses to have, but also how does he protect himself either from STIs and also unintended pregnancy, whereas my daughter, she would carry that pregnancy if that was what had to happen with her. So, yeah, I do talk to them a little bit differently because the needs are different.
Tara, if this is a tricky conversation for couples to have, you know, one partner can be much more open about this sort of stuff than the other, what's the best way to sort of broach it and bring it up and make it a normal part of that relationship?
That's to build it into your regular check-in. So if you're having a weekly or a monthly check-in, make it an agenda item. And I know it might sound a little bit sort of business-like, but it really is. You know, talk about contraception, talk about sex. And the more that you have those conversations, the less charge there is around them. And same for people who aren't in a long-term relationship or with their children. You know, the more you talk about it, the less charge there is and the more comfortable they become then being able to say to someone, hey, you know, what contraception are we going to use before we go down this path?
Mm. Yeah. Really great to have you both in the studio to talk about this. Thank you so much for coming in.
Pleasure.
That's Tara Whitewood, our regular guest for The Sugar Doctor. She'll be back next Monday. And our sexologist Jane McCartney as well joining us here to talk about relationships and contraception.